And the reading this morning comes from Romans 10, verses 8 to 13. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Penny, for doing that reading for us. So, not perhaps an easy reading to understand, although the essence of it is understood readily enough, I think. Paul is writing here to the early church in Rome, and they've become bogged down in a dispute between those who still follow the old Jewish customs and those who follow the way that Jesus taught when he was walking on the earth. Please note that in verses 12 to 13, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, it says, in one version of the Bible. In another version of the Bible, it says, no distinction between Jew and Gentile. And that means us, because anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to those who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Interesting word, isn't it? It's a kind of buzzword in the church. So those of you who've been in the church for a long time will know what that means. But those of you who are more recently joined us might not know really what that means. It's to be saved from not having a relationship with God, basically. Because when you belong to God, you have a relationship with God. If you're saved, you're saved into that relationship. So in another place, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, the same Paul writes, all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired means breathed out by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or woman, may be complete for every good work. So what does this mean to us? Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, a very, very long time ago, there was God, there was Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were all there when creation began. And if you've read Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Old Testament, you will know this story. On day one, God made light and darkness. On day three, he made the earth and the sea and all the vegetation that grows on the earth. And so it went on. You can read it all at the very beginning of Genesis 1. God created the most beautiful garden that you could ever imagine, okay? So I want you to think for a minute, close your eyes if it helps. Think of the most beautiful garden you have ever been in or ever seen in a picture. Then think of that garden extended to twice the size, with all the extra plants in, twice as good. And then again extended another two times into a bigger garden, still stocked full of plants, still beautiful to be in. Well, God created the most beautiful garden you could ever imagine. We call it the Garden of Eden. And out of his great love, he created a man and a woman. We call them Adam and Eve. He placed them in the beautiful garden to enjoy life together. Together with each other, and crucially, together with God himself. In harmony with him. But with a warning. You see, he didn't want Adam and Eve to be mere puppets, creatures without choice. He wanted them to choose to be in relationship with him of their own free will. Well, I think we all know what happened next. They disobeyed his instruction. The instruction was not to eat of the fruit of a particular tree in the garden. But they wanted it. So they took it anyway. You can almost hear the discussion, can't you, between them. It doesn't matter. It's only a piece of fruit. Hey, it's fruit, it must be good for us. He'll never know. If you're honest, can you remember times when you were children when you took something off a plate that you weren't supposed to have and said to yourself, but I really, really, really want it. How many times have fathers and mothers heard children say that? But it's only small. I really, really wanted it. I really. Okay, you got the point. If you read the Bible all the way through, you'll see countless examples of this type of behaviour. In fact, it's like a red thread of danger running through the tapestry of life. The life of God's people, including, yes, me, and including you, no doubt. God's people are walking in a relationship with him. Then suddenly, often because of disobedience, they walk away from the relationship they once had with God the Father. As the song says, I did it my way. There was a funeral here not so long ago in which the music that the people related to the person who had died chose, possibly the person chose it for themselves before they passed away, as people often do. I did it my way. It was very poignant. Since we were clearly made to live in relationship with God, any departure from this leads to problems and alienation. In other words, we build up a barrier between us and God. Let's call that sin. Sin became a barrier between us and God. Eventually, we realise our stupidity and return to him. Somewhat like the story in the Bible in the New Testament, the story of the prodigal son. We probably all know that story. We can make a new beginning, at least for a while. Adam and Eve weren't the only ones. If you read the Bible, think about the story of Noah's Ark, Abraham and Sarah, God's people Israel wandering in the desert. The Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, has other examples of such behaviour. In fact, it is a cycle of behaviour that repeats itself over time again and again and again. And we begin to wonder how it is that God can be patient with mankind. God wants his people to live in relationship with him. But they keep dropping out. They think they can make it through life without him. We're a nation of island dwellers, aren't we? The sea might seem a long way away, it might take some hours to get there from wherever you are, but we are an island. So you know about the tide coming in and the tide going out. And that's a little bit like our relationship with God, if we're honest. I doubt there's anybody here that doesn't understand what I mean by that. The tide comes in and the tide goes out. And sometimes we say things like, well, we can't live on the top of a mountain all the time. That's kind of an excuse, really, for the fact that we've backed out of our constant relationship with God. God sent his only son, Jesus, into the world to die on the cross, to take our sin upon himself, so that we could walk in a daily living relationship with Father God for all of our life and after death into eternity. Many of you here will know the text of John 3, verse 16, by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. But you know, it's not just eternal life when we die, it's eternal life now. We could all be living in God's presence and walking with him in relationship day by day by day, if we took a bit more care. How foolish we are if we believe that we have a better way to live than the one that God has spoken of. I did it my way simply will not do. If you've never invited God into your life and accepted Jesus, his son, as your saviour, now is the opportunity. Or if you've already done so, but have pulled back from that close relationship with God our Father, either by sin or even by neglect, here's your opportunity to do so again. God is watching you and me. He is waiting like a loving Heavenly Father for you and me to make that decision today, to come to him for the first time and accept the death of Jesus to be your saviour, or to return to him. Perhaps you've already made many returns to him. If we're honest, most of us are like that. God is waiting for you to make a decision for him today, because he wants you to have the freedom to choose. And if you choose to ignore God and deny that he wants to love you, then that's your decision. I did it my way. But if you choose to turn to God and accept Jesus' death on the cross to be the covering of your sins, and we all have sins. We may not think we're a bad sinner, but if we're not actually in relationship with God, then we are not living the life that he has in mind for us. God is waiting, waiting. Will you take that step of faith and come to him for the first time, or even come back to him again today? Father God, we offer ourselves to you. Teach us to love you more, we pray.
Think about some of the things that Sue said, and maybe it was one thing that stood out for you. I know that was really what I needed to hear today as well. So, and as we just kind of mull over some of those thoughts in our minds, just invite the Holy Spirit just to come and to help you, because he's with us, he's here with us now. I just also am so aware of the Lord's invitation to each one of us. As Sue said, he's waiting. That really struck me. He's so patient with us. And he waits and he longs for us to come. So if it's just a small step for you just to acknowledge he is here and he loves you. I just invite you to take that step. And if you've never done it before, and this is the first time, I just encourage you just to go and to talk to someone afterwards. And just speak to him now in your heart. And just say, Lord Jesus, I receive your love for me. Thank you for what you did for me. That you would have done it just for me. And I choose to trust you now with the rest of my days. And I receive your life that goes on until forever with you. And I invite you to come and to change me from the inside out by your Holy Spirit.